Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where Dr. Janine Krause, that's me, gives you, a health junkie, a weekly dose of tools to help you increase your energy and resilience to life stressors. Hey, health junkies. The Health Fix Podcast is sponsored by EMF Rocks and athleticism.com, where you can find all the tools for whole brain and whole body performance so you can be an athlete for life. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of The Health Fix, I'm interviewing Justin Franson again. Why? Because I read his book, Athleticism, and it got me to thinking a lot about hand-eye coordination, dexterity, and helping us to be athletes for life. Why? Because so many of us struggle with our hand-eye coordination and we don't even know it. We also have forgotten to use both sides of our body for certain motions. Like, when's the last time you threw a ball? And when's the last time you threw a ball with the arm that you normally wouldn't throw the ball with? Or kicked a ball left side and right side? Or done a cartwheel right side and left side? And if you have done it, how'd it go? For me, I tried doing cartwheels right-handed and left-handed. Right side went fine, left side, not so good. So I decided, ooh, these are some things I really need to work with. Plus, having talked to Justin about athletic performance, determined, a lot of athletes who do neurological drills, such as working on their hand-eye coordination, dexterity, and balance, perform a lot better on the field. So I had to test it with some of my athletes, and guess what? I did see improvement. And these are not high-end athletes. These are my everyday athletes. So I had to bring Justin back, because if you want to be an athlete for life, you want to be working on your hand-eye coordination, your dexterity, your balance. Because these are things that slowly go as we get older, and they're what contribute to some of our issues with our health. But not only that, your hand-eye coordination has a lot to do with your overall health. And by that I mean in terms of how well you are balancing stress in your body. Because if our body doesn't feel safe, right? It's not perceiving things with the eyes like it should. We're not having the balance within our body in terms of nerves firing properly left to right side of the body. So communication between the body and the brain. If that is off, it's going to have our body stuck in fight or flight just as much as being stressed out from work, stressed out from life can keep you stuck in fight or flight. So the more that your body is in balance in these different areas, the more you can lift heavier weights, the more you can push it a little bit harder at the gym, and the more you can crush workouts better than all those 20-year-olds out there who aren't doing these things. So if this intrigues you, join me and let's talk to Justin a little bit more about how we could be athletes for life. Hey, health junkies, I have Justin Franson back, and because of many reasons, one, because of his book, and I geeked out on his book, Athleticism. This is whole brain, whole body equals performance. Now, I didn't just read the book and then start playing with these things and try it myself. I subjected some of my friends at the gym that I worked out of in Washington to play along with me. And turns out we got a lot of folks to get some gains on their deadlifts, not have as much pain, actually locking down their lats equally on both sides. I mean, all kinds of great stuff. So guys, this is going to be a good podcast for you, because we are going to be geeking out on little tricks with dexterity, with balance, with the eyes, the things you're not thinking about when it comes to athletic performance. So Justin, welcome back to the Health Fix.
Thanks, Dr. Janine. So fun. You're having a good time training athleticism style.
Oh my gosh, man. I dove into the book and I started looking at these things. And you know, one of the biggest things that I hear from folks over and over again is like, doc, I keep hurting my right side of my body. And it's every time it's my right side of my body. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with your left side of your brain? You know, or what's, I got to think about it, right? I'm going, well, there's something going on. And as an acupuncturist, I'll always kind of be like needling down the scalp where the motor and sensory homunculus are, because I'm like, well, I've got to get in there somehow. And then I go to the spinal nerves where they come out, but I'm like, I'm still missing something, because maybe we'll get results for like a week, or I'll do that. Then they'll go work out and things will be better for that day. And then the next day they're like, yeah, pain's back. And I'm like, gosh, there's something missing. And so diving into your book and thinking about neurology and functional neurology in the essence of, maybe we've got a lot of people who just do not know that they're not comfortable or balanced in their body. Stress, you know, takes over all these things. So obviously you wrote a book on it, and obviously you've played with a lot of things. I want to ask first and foremost, what's your most favorite of all of the exercises and drills? What's your favorite one?
Oh, goodness sake. when you talk about a speed drill, probably bounding would be one of my favorite ones, because you could do parallel bounding or straight line, gets the most optimal out of it. It's kind of like a run jump movement. So if you had a straight line, you would run jump like over that line from one leg to the other. So that's got to be one of my favorite speed drills. Balance wise, it's hard to compete against the Bosu ball. I have a lot of history with David Weck. We talk about in the story, the founder of it. But that half ball, that half blue ball, I have the blue one. And
me too.
Yeah, that one just has just been so fun to train with. You flip it around and one leg, and I have a really old one, so it's a lot thinner, so it's even more challenging for your proprioception. And then I think ambidexterity wise, I have to go with juggling, because it's one of the more challenging ones for straight line, more linear brains to figure out. But once you get it, it's the essence of the book, which is connecting to the infinite flow of the universe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the infinite flow, but also just kind of thinking of using things that we haven't done since we were kids. It's kind of like childlike play, which makes it super fun. And I have yet for someone to really be like, no, I don't want to do that. They're like, ooh, that sounds kind of fun. Let's try it. Whereas some of my other techniques, people are like, oh, doc, I don't want to do that. But these are really fun. And one of the things you mentioned over and over again, and kind of going through that infinite component, is figure eights in your book. Tell us a little bit about the mind and the balance and what's happening with the whole brain, whole body in the figure eight drills.
Well, there's so many components and levels and layers, I should say. It's like the rings on a big tree, where once you start to develop this foundation, you could grow on it. So we like to do our speed drills in semicircles and figure eights. And so you would connect a semicircle here and then come back through the center and then go the other way. So if you're going to face the middle, you're working the right side on the right and then the left on the left, because you're always facing the same direction but working opposite sides. So there's a really unbelievable hormonal release, endorphin release in everybody when we start to do the skipping, the coordination, the rhythms of just running, skipping, bounding, shuffling in those semicircles and figure eights. And when you start to connect them, there's something that just opens up hormonally, I think, in your body, that you just get more coordinated and you get more in that flow state, which we're looking for. And yeah, excuse me, we could do sound therapy and, you know, tons of different therapies to get that brainwave state down as well. That'll complement it. So we have the movement stuff, we have the sound waves, you know, to get them there. But then we also have just juggling, just pure juggling, to get that brainwave in that flow. Because when you're throwing a ball up and then you throw another one up, and you up and under it, so you create essentially a figure eight with just a simple juggling drill. So you ask a loaded question, because there's the movement stuff, there's the brain training, there's the actually ambidexterity with your eye hand that we're developing. All this ties into getting in that infinite flow of the universe, which is a figure eight, connecting to that abundance vibration that you can just achieve the level that you desire. It's infinite how good you can be and everyone can be. It's absolutely infinite. And for us performance coaches working with athletes and helping facilitating your doctor, you have all these different protocols, but the one thing that we are there to do is to allow them to connect to that flow so that they could choose to be the best that they can be. And we never limit them because there is no limit. And so when someone comes in, it's like, oh, I want to play here. Like, you got it. You're already there. Okay. So let's open up that energy field and your body to allow you to get there. But like, you're already there. You choose that. It's already there.
And so that's where that stacking comes onto it, where we would be standing on a BOSU ball juggling. Now, see, I'm working on mastering just juggling in and of itself. And that's why I've got my one ball here, but I dropped the rest of them. So here I am juggling with one. But the fact that you said it's the figure eight, I always thought about juggling as just being a circle that you're trying to get the balls going in a circle. So I think maybe a lot of other folks might be thinking of it that way too and going, wait a minute. Oh, maybe I think about movements and the coordination a little differently than it's truly supposed to be. And so this could be eye-opening just in general for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you can do that one way where you're just throwing them up in a circle and then you'd want to do the circle the other way, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's like doing a cartwheel one direction, you'd want to do it the other way, right? So
yeah,
these simple little things where you can start to work with a young five-year-old and say, hey, she's perfect at doing cartwheels to the right, but let's have you go to the left. And these are the little things that I'm coaching people to see to help with their own development and then also with the kids' athletic development.
Oh, that's huge with kids. I mean, I think about myself when I was a kid, I was in a gymnastics and we were doing things all over the place, but we become adults and then we don't do these things. And so when I was reading through your book, I was thinking like, oh my gosh, like, you know, we get used to throwing balls with our right arm, but then if we don't throw balls because we don't have kids or we don't have dogs or we just don't do it, well, now there's the chuck it thing. So you don't even have to use it for the dogs. But the thing here is that I don't think a lot of people have this coordination anymore. And so I played with throwing with my left hand. I actually like to throw with my left hand, even though I'm a right-handed person. So that's an interesting thing. You can break that down for me here in a minute. But the cartwheeling, I went out and was like, okay, I'm good at right-sided cartwheels, but the left ones are a little bit goofy. So after like a couple of minutes of trying it, I was back to kind of pretty good both sides. Do you find that it doesn't take much for folks to kind of balance themselves out?
Well, it sounds like you're really more ambidextrous than most people being able to use both sides. So a lot are really linear. I mean, when we start to do these semicircles, you'll literally see someone start on the left side and they'll just float off into left field. And you just know that they're linearly trained. You can see it. So these intangibles that we're talking about, Dr. Jean, are super tangible because you can actually see them go in one direction or go in a straight line, or when they're trying to figure out, you know, how to throw one ball up and under to the other side, they don't know. They're like, you can see their brain trying, like they know conceptually what to do. You've shared with them, but to get the coordination there, I mean, it's unbelievable. So it really depends on these pathways and how they've been cultivated early on. And so when you go through the protocols in our book and open up those pathways, so there's more connections from the body, the brain to the body, you're gonna start to see the performance. Yeah, and no matter what activity or sport you're doing, start to exponentially go up. And it's significant.
Nice. No, I think for folks who are listening, a lot of folks are going to be listening. I have some people who are coaches who are listening, but also most of my listeners are everyday Joes who are just trying to be athletic for life. That's what they want to do. That's how they want to, you know, proceed with life. And all these fun little drills, it's like, okay, cool. What can we add on to it? So if someone's wanting to start off with the whole concept here, would you have them do kind of the figure eight drills you were talking about, then kind of work into maybe something juggling, something of that nature, and then transfer into the eyes stuff? Or do we go right into all of it at once?
Well, it's a time factor as well. So I always love starting with the coordination drills and get people moving and getting skips and rhythms and beats in their legs and getting them lighter on their feet again. Because I mean, quite honestly, before I started in on the program with Dean, I had a few years of, I got injured playing tennis. So my wrists were out, so I couldn't play. So I stopped doing the fast twitch, the playing that I used to play, but just in a few years, I really lost it. And so and that was when I was 21-ish. Right. So, and then, you know, now as these years keep adding up, you know, we want to get those rhythms back. So I would start with I love starting with movement stuff because movement is the essence of life. So start with movement, and then we can integrate some balance so that they can have those joints supported on change of direction. And then during rest periods or where have you, then we add in one ambidexterity exercise at a time, whether it's juggling or the bricks or the cups or the washers or what have you.
Show us the bricks. I saw those. So those of you who are listening only mode here, he has three bricks that kind of look like little yoga blocks, but smaller. And yeah. WOG, W-O-G.
Yeah, World of Genius, we call them that. Okay. I brought them to market one time, but I couldn't find the right material to keep bringing them because they had to be just perfect and we couldn't get them. So you can use erasers or there's a lot of different things that you can use. But what we do is there's three bricks and they're super light and we line them up and then we rotate and then we actually trick the brain. So now I'm gonna switch my hands bottom to top, top to bottom. So most people, when you show them this and then you go to here, their brains wanna rotate it. So again, it's processing, it's seeing, it's responding and being able to have that eye speed and recognition, which is huge. So, and then we'll go into opening it up into more of an H, and I make it look a lot easier than it is. So top, middle, bottom, and then you could throw the middle around a few times. You can end up doing 360s, you know, both ways. And so it's not an easy exercise. Most people will drop them, but that's part of the movement and the warming up and being able to see things. Cause what happens is in sports, Dr. Janine, a lot of the eyes are closed or they don't track it all the way. So when you're able to process three things going on at once and have that vision and that presence to stay in the moment and see it all the way through, see those connections happen, watch the ball all the way into the racket, not 6 inches short of it, your performance will elevate.
I found that interesting that you mentioned that most of sports is with the eyes closed. Like when you go to hit the ball, your eyes close. When you go to catch a ball, eyes close. And I kind of thought about it and I was like, you know, I played softball for a lot of years and I thought to myself, you know, that's right. I felt like every time I did hit the ball, I closed my eyes. And I'm like, I wonder if I was going to have my husband throw some balls at me for me to catch him to see if I and video me, see if I close my eyes. That's so wild. But it makes sense why we would have some margin of error if we're going to close our eyes when we go to do something.
I mean, I feel it's completely the difference between the top 10 in the world and everybody else. It's that significant when you're having a ball and eye sport, because if you can watch the Federers, watch the Djokovic, the top tennis players in the world, every time, no matter where the ball is, how far they get pulled off the court, their eyes are on that racket and the ball. They're not stopping short a foot. And then you watch the other players and you'll see them, you know, right before they do a commercial break, they'll like replay it in slow motion. You'll see them not track all the way in. So I've studied video and shot pictures and we see all the stuff, all these athletes, all these different sports, and it's very apparent that that's a differentiator.
Wow. Now, do you think because I want to do the beads thing now, because I know that tracks really well into this. Do you think that maybe some of the closing the eyes is a protective, like sympathetic mechanism?
Definitely. Yeah. You go into fear mode. And so you get out of that flow state and your body's like, oh no, you know, something's going to attack me. And it's a reflex. So we have to train that brain and train the body to be able to process it a lot better. So if we have here, I have a pool ball here. If I'm playing catch with someone, they're throwing it like if I'm going to hit a baseball, let's say this was a baseball, I'm going to hit it right here. I'm used to hitting, you hit it on the 45, you hit it out in front of you. Same with a tennis ball. But to train it, I want to start catching the ball back behind my body. So I would follow this ball all the way in, follow the ball all the way back here. So then I'm used to training my eyes to see back, you know, a couple feet further back than they normally would. So now tracking it into the racket or hand, it's a lot more effective. So there's lots of tools you can use to get you there.
Ooh, so folks who are on, you know, recreational tennis leagues right now and want to step up on their partners, guys, pay attention here. I can imagine a lot of my other weekend warriors are like golf. They're like, what do you got, Justin, for golf? Because you know how people get about golf and wanting to kind of compete there. Would it be the same thing? You would watch even though the ball's on the tee? Like how would that work?
Yeah, golf is a different component too because it's not really moving. Mm-hmm. But it's like all of a sudden you have here, you have all these different techniques you're supposed to worry about. And then right at contact, everyone's like, it just all implodes. So it's finding that flow state to where you don't have that close the eye moment at the point of contact. So definitely really similar. We train, again, all the stuff is crossover for any sport. So yes, we would train a golfer really similar to a tennis player. And the cues we would use would be different, but it would be really similar. And one of the big things with golf, and I talk a little bit about in the book, but the quarter turn of your head to set a golf stroke up is similar to the quarter turn of a head on a serve, is similar to the quarter turn of a head on a free throw, is similar to, it puts you in that parasympathetic mode. And so you're not in a fight or flight state, just turning your head a little ways. So on a golf stroke, you're already there. Now we have to allow the coordination to flow all the way through. And so then we start to splash in all these different components and it helps.
That is so cool.
John Cook was a big golfer, PGA golfer on the tour, traveled with him for years. He was in the top five every year. He was training with us and now he's broadcasting. But it's to see someone that hadn't won in a decade and then go and win after 6 weeks, it's substantial.
Wow, that's so cool. That's so cool. So let's look at the bead component because of course we're talking about eyes, we're talking about head position. And I think a lot of people don't really think about where their eyes are at, where their head's at, and even this fight or flight and parasympathetic component. So folks, sympathetic mode is fight or flight, parasympathetic is your chill mode. And for us to really get the power stroke out of things, the most force we can, but also the more coordination, we really need to get ourselves a little bit out of the sympathetic and parasympathetic, you know, being sympathetic driven, but have ourselves a little bit parasympathetic as well. And I know that, I believe you mentioned this, Justin, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we don't want to always be in, you know, parasympathetic or sympathetic. We want to be able to turn it back and forth and get into that mode when we need it. But unfortunately, if we don't feel comfortable in our bodies, because the body's in flight or flight mode at the point of impact, well, of course, we're not going to be able to achieve optimal performance. So we need to help our bodies to train to be into parasympathetic. Now with the eyes, I think the eyes would have a huge connection there.
Yeah, the eyes are a big part of it. There's 7 muscles in each eye that you could actually refine the focus and the strength in. So I have some beads right here I'm playing with to get them set up for you so we could kind of show you. But we have a string and you could go to any bead store and find a string and get any size beads. You can put the end of the string on your nose and do a cross-eyed method. So the first, there should be 2 lines when you cross your eyes. There should be 2 lines going into the first bead, then the second, then the third. So if the left line is off, that means your right eye is a little weak. So we need to start strengthening it. And then I mean, this one has 5 beads on it. So you can, and I have ones with dozens. So you can really cover a big range and get those eyes to start to work those muscles. And they won't give you big bug eyes, but they'll refine those focus in your eyes, and your fine motor skills will be heightened for performance. So eyes is a huge part of the game.
Oh, I can imagine being able to look, predict, see things. I mean, just something out of the back of your eye. If you're a football player, I can imagine, you know, seeing things that you need to see that you might not have to be able to turn your whole head, but you can kind of catch the periphery with turning. Now, would it be able to help with vision, improving vision over yes. time?
Yeah, definitely. And when we're working on screen times, I always say, hey, look near and then far. So you're refocusing your eyes throughout the day at different lengths. I mean, look really far away. So find a window where you could peer out of, and to keep your eyes shifting in different directions will help keep them younger.
Nice. So folks, with the eyes, it's a big deal too, because like I was saying, direct connection to your nervous system there. The other big connection that we lose as we get older is dexterity. And Justin has some cool dexterity drills. And I was playing with one where you've got the squishy ball and you're squishing your thumb and your pinky together and your ring finger and your middle finger and your second finger, and you keep repeating it. So you've got a block there. Okay, he's got a block that he's showing us.
Yeah, you could do blocks. I like they call them the stress balls. We use pool balls, but you rotate them clockwise, counterclockwise, and we have them so you don't make any noise when you're rotating them. They're not clanking together on each turn. So I have them super fluid, so I could go both directions, both ways, without on both hands, without having them connect. And then you do the same thing with both hands at the same time. So it's endless. It's infinite as far as how you can start to be creative to add these different tools into your, you know, shed and then allow your performance to really go to next levels.
I love it. So with those, the guys, for those of you that are listening in audio only, and back in the day, like I swear in like the 90s, when I was in the beginning of high school, those are really popular at like every little store. You could get the two ones. They look kind of Asian and you could kind of just work on your dexterity with those. So
they made sound. You can.
Yeah. You get real fancy with it. I like the pool ball ones though. I mean, why not? I tried it with tennis balls, but I think the tennis ball is too sticky. The fur on them is too sticky.
Yeah. So,
Justin, with athletes that, if I bring this back to my first comment in the beginning, where folks tend to say like, hey, I keep getting injured on the right-hand side, you know, Justin, what can we do to help me improve? What would you say to an athlete or just anybody in general? What is it about all of that happening on the right side that's not happening up here in the left side of the brain that maybe some drills we could do to balance that out a little?
Yeah. So when I first moved to Orange County, there's a doctor named Dr. Tim Brown. They know him as a beach doc. He's on the World Surf Tour and invites me to work in the medical tent there when US Open events here in Huntington and such. And he's also was big on the AVP, the Pro Beach Volleyball Tour coming up. And one of the reasons we gravitated so well together is he would see these right side dominant athletes coming in overusing it. So anything he could do to have them start to strengthen the opposite side and balance out their body would be fantastic. So I think Nadal, the tennis player, was probably one of the most profound differences that I've seen from left to right. And this guy, I mean, he's so substantially stronger on his left side. I didn't think he would be able to sustain playing as long as he has because those imbalances were so massive. But he's been able to start to balance out the opposite side and recognize that. But it was like inch difference at least in size on one side or the other. And so training and getting that whole brain and body to start to fire strength-wise, size-wise, coordination-wise, you know, start to hit balls with your opposite hand and start to throw with both hands. So you don't know which hand is your dominant side. I think Sean Rosenthal was a really amazing pro beach volleyball player. He could hit straight down with his right. He could straight down with his left. And when you would go up, you wouldn't know which hand he was going to hit with.
Wow.
And like these guys to me are just some of the most gifted in the world. And you see a lot of basketball players starting to get better, but I mean, I would see and they're still NBA guys. They're on the left side. They're using their right hand. And I'm just going, you should never be in the NBA if you're going to that hand on that side of the basket. It just, you shouldn't be doing it. So that is a coordination that these athletes need to develop, because you know, you're creating so much more space and distance. If I'm going on the left side, I'm doing a layup, you're going to be able to get me way easier if I'm going up with my right hand than if I am creating space with my other. So super simple little things, but it's really challenging. And I like to call out like these NBA guys, NFL, you know, these top teams and strength coaches, and go, you guys are linearly training your athletes. Like, it's not okay. It's not benefiting the athletes. It's not allowing them to develop more coordination. You guys are going through motions during warmups, all in straight lines. There's nothing creative. There's nothing dynamic about it. So I wrote this so we could help raise that level of consciousness of the entire globe and allow them to understand that there's so many different levels of developing coordination and then preparedness for these athletes to go into sport.
Oh, I think that's, I mean, having seen it firsthand, I've had the pleasure of working with a couple of Seahawks over at the gym that I was at. And yeah, you know, just having talking chats, you know, like, hey, what are you guys doing for your warmups? What are you doing here or there? You know, their programs are a little bit more advanced, but I'm still noticing that there are some things that are missing, you know, and, you know, I've seen other ball players from different teams as well. And some teams that I'm not going to mention are just like, oh my gosh, what is this, 1976? Like, are we still like, that's archaic. Why are we doing these things? Now, of course, you folks who are listening to this might be like, well, you know, how does that apply to me? I'm not a pro athlete. No, neither am I. But what it applies to for me is looking at, okay, how can I not get injured as I get older? How can I perform at a level that's, you know, on point? And I want to ski. I mean, for me, it's personal. I want to ski big stuff until I'm 100 or more, you know, to the day I die. If I die in an avalanche on a big steep mountain, I am so happy with it. It's fine. But I want to be able to do that, right? And with skiing, I mean, there's a lot of both sided there. Snowboarding is something that you had mentioned in your book in terms of goofy versus regular footed. And I taught myself as a 12-year-old to snowboard both directions because I didn't know that there was a goofy or a regular foot. I just put my binding straight and tried both ways, you know? But this stuff, now tell us a little bit. I'm gathering that you probably do have everyday athletes in your gym as well, not just pro folks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we get everyone coming in. So that's the beauty, is someone just wants to get longer, there's an incredible stretching protocol in there. And so anyone can stretch and grab a belt and then balance. And so there's something for everyone. And anyone can learn how to juggle and pick up a few balls to start to teach themselves how to do it. So there's something for everyone. And that's why I love this program, is because kids, junior national figure skaters can work out with, you know, NFL, Charger, Pro Bowlers, like literally in the same workout, and each put each other to shame in different ways. And then each really grow together. But it doesn't matter what sport or what level, with the system that we've rolled out, you can all work out together and you can all benefit at the level that you put into it.
That's cool. So the whole family could literally take this, and your kids might put you to shame. I mean, God, I go to the rock climbing gym and I watch these 6-year-olds and I'm like, oh my gosh, is it that they have no fear? Possibly, but holy cow, the moves they can do. It's like, what? I didn't think about that. So your kids might put you to shame. Your grandkids might put you to shame, but hey, you know what? This is helping them develop, but this is also helping you to restore some of the stuff you've lost, because I would imagine having, that's if you wrote this book, you're like, wow, there's a lot of people that you've probably seen come into the gym and they're like, hey, Justin, I used to be, you know, a runner. I used to be this, I used to be that. And then you watch their dexterity movement and you're like, it's gone so fast. And you had mentioned even in yourself in the 20s, things decline so fast? What on the average is the amount of time it takes for someone to kind of decondition?
Well, I mean, it's a tricky question. Our bodies are meant to adapt. So if you're not adapting and stressing appropriately, they're not in growth mode anymore. Even if you're still young, they're not in growth mode anymore. So we always want to put that in there. You can get it back really quickly with this stuff. So probably one of my favorite things to keep me going is to do just simple workouts with my daughter. Literally, we'll do a 20-minute workout on the street on a little incline outside of our house. And it's the most functionally sound, you know, impactful workout that we could do. And it's 20 minutes. It doesn't fatigue her. It doesn't overstress her. You know, she plays a two-sport athlete. And then when I splash a little of the jump training in with some barriers out and just do a small, do, you know, a couple of semicircles on each side, and we can slowly start to build up. That's the other progression component in is I have these really cool foam barriers that we use, and you could set up a towel, what have you, and we space them out accordingly, put them in semicircles. And if you only have 7 on one side, 7 on the other, that's 14 jumps that you're doing. But then if you're going up 5, back 2, you know, that's 12 jumps on each side. So that the volume of work ends up adding up, and you're working both sides equally and developing that coordination on arms, hips, ankles. So simple jumping exercises with that allow you to go to a sport and be like, all of a sudden you go to jump and it's like, well, for me, it was like, I used to be able to dunk the basketball. So but since I've turned 50, I lost it in the last, you know, 8 years or so. So when I start to train, I can see my explosiveness come back really quickly.
I think that's important to hear. I mean, more than how long does it take to get to be deconditioned, it's more like, hey, how quick can we bring you back? How quick can we do this? And I've noticed with just some of this training, like I was mentioning about a couple of different things I was playing with since reading your book, that it took me maybe like a day or two to like fully get things back, but I was on it after a couple rounds. And the bounding stuff and the jumping, now this is something that maybe some folks might be like, oh, I don't know about jumping. What would you recommend in terms of someone easing in to jumping? Like say they haven't jumped for a while, they're worried about their Achilles. Yes. Great segue.
This one's the easiest. Well, first off, I would just get chalk or lines and just jump over paint on the ground. So you don't have anything to jump over. That would be the first progression into it. The next progression is our jump band, athleticism.com, jump band. It is probably the most cost-effective, most fun jump training. It's soft, elastic. You can set 2 chairs up on either side, and it creates 2 parallel lines when you wrap it around the chairs, and you jump in between it. You can have 2 friends where my thumbs are, standing here, and then the third person's where my head is, jumping in and out of the band. So and there's endless exercises you can create in with that jump band. But that's one of the most simple products you can get. It's so fun. You step on it, it gives, it won't hurt you. Like these are the things that you want to start to think about is the progression. Use a towel. So when you step up, if you don't have a foam barrier like we do, I don't like the plastic ones because if you step on them, they can hurt you. So just get a towel. You step on a towel, it'll give, and you can, you know, it's not going to hurt you. So you get a jump band. Yeah, it's not going to hurt you. It's super soft, elastic. So those are the ways we like to educate people on how to train really effectively.
Oh, I love it. I love it. The jump band is cool. I have a bright pink one, by the way, folks. It's amazing. It's really fun. But I think the idea here is channeling your inner kiddo and really thinking about like, how can I make this fun? How can I use some play and imagination? that gets you in the flow as well, because you're tapping in to some great aspects of your brain that's imaginative, but also creative and fun. Now, Justin also has some other stuff that I want to talk about, in particular, these EMF bags. So on our previous podcast, we were talking about EMFs, and we were talking about one of the other things that could be hindering you from optimal performance in life and in your athletic endeavors. And I've used the Faraday bag. I have the small to go one in my desk at the office. And then I've got two of these guys here that I put under the bed. And then I have another one right by where our router and all the computer stuff is in our living room. And I've noticed that I've felt a little more calm lately. Sleep, I've not been waking up in the middle of the night at all. And that was a thing for me for a while. So tell us a little bit about why this is important as another thing to add to your total package of whole body, whole brain athleticism. Why do we need to kind of be thinking about these guys to help us?
Yeah, Dr. Janine, one of the biggest things that I looked at with the athletes is getting stressors out of their life. So we talked about it in our last chat, was a man-made radiation. They're one directional waveforms, and our bodies we're all electric beings, and so is the universe. And when there's a man-made one directional, it's just different than how we're made. And that affects us. It affects our cognitive skills, and it affects our body injury wise, you know, just breaks it down slow. It's like the slow cook process. So what we want to do is allow us to get this really restorative sleep. So the grounding bags are converting that waveform when you're sleeping. So even if your router's off and your bed's touching the wall, your bed's still charged to the level of the outlet. That's still one directional man-made radiation at a low level, but still a stressor. So I look to clear all these for the athletes and individuals, clients, that they can get into that deeper restorative sleep. So now you sleeping through the night, Dr. Janine, that's huge, because that means you're going into that deeper brainwave state and getting that really restorative sleep. And that's when you can do that. And then you have the energy, your hormones are balanced, like everything starts to normalize and be more effective for you when you go to utilize it.
That's huge. It's huge. I've also not worn my Oura ring for like a month now, and I'm going to put it on though for a week just so I can get some data for you. So I'm going to start putting it out on Instagram as to what you see before and after.
Well, remember when you're tracking with that, that's what they're for. They're markers before and after. So marker it before what you did, see how you're changing, and then marker it later. And that's what's so cool about testing and the technology. We can coexist with this stuff and transform that waveform and then use these technology to track and see how much we're improving. It's awesome.
It's huge stuff. So Justin, thank you so much for coming on again, talking all about your book, Whole Body, Whole Brain Equals Performance. It's all about athleticism here. And for anyone who wants to be an athlete for life, I really highly recommend checking out his book. Now, where can folks find the book? Where can they get EMF Rocks? EMFRocks.com, I'm thinking there. But tell us more where we can find you, where they can see what else you're up to.
Well, we've covered so much. So thank you, Dr. Janine, for having me on. I appreciate you guys, and your listeners are awesome. So yeah, athleticism.com is where you could find the book, all our curated health and performance products, athleticism. It's spelled athletic, ISM, for those that are like, how do you spell athleticism? So athleticism.com is the main curated site. We do have our grounding bags on there. We do have Soul Force. We do have our jump band. And many more products that will help you to optimize your health and performance. And EMFRocks.com is the site exclusively for grounding bags. One last component, we have a new, and I haven't sent it to you because I just got it, so I'm going to, is our new, so excited, lean oil, MCT oil. It's a medium chain triglyceride oil. This is probably one of my all-time favorite products ever. And it's because it's going to be able to provide fuel for so many. I think I have a bottle. Where's the bottle? Let me see. I have it within reach. Yeah, I'll grab it in 1 second.
Sure.
And it's actually like burning a fire with a log. It's right here. It's like burning a fire with a log and versus paper. So when you have a log, it sustained fuel. Thank you. And then when you have this medium chain triglyceride, it's hard to see on the label, so I'll block it out behind, but it's purest oil. It's 10 times better than coconut oil for energy, but it's in a little flask bottle. It's super fun.
Don't mix that with your other ones. Put that one.
a little goes a long way. A teaspoon in the morning, you could just put in your mouth and let your saliva absorb it. I actually love to rub it on over an organ. So my spleen was acting up a little bit lately. So I've put some on and rub it over the spleen area, and my energy just skyrocketed. And I literally just got this in on Friday. So we're just a few days in from having it. So I'm so excited to launch that and get that out there, because it's going to help with weight loss and suppressing people's appetite, but doing it the right way, because they're burning the right fuel systems, and helps with, you know, again, buffering insulin and those spiking of that. So I'm super excited about lean oil.
Hey, I would love to check it out. Let's see what you got there. I mean, everything else has been extremely impressive. And so, folks, I do highly recommend that you go check out Justin's stuff. He's got some really cool things there. Now, my next question is, you got the lean oil, all that. What about videos of some of the drills for the athleticism.com website? Any videos for the drills coming soon, or do I need to do some videos on IG for you and send them over?
I know I'm like lacking that. I've been so just not the best on being online with that. There are some really old videos that you could see of me working with some athletes with the bricks, or doing some team training with Newport Harbor High School here in Newport Beach with their volleyball team. And you could see some of the speed drills and coordination drills. I do have some beach drills that I've done with pro volleyball players. So just look up my name or athleticism in YouTube on some of those channels, and you could see lots of videos. I'm working on developing better archives for it, and then having the book really is super informative on it, but it's nice for the visual learners to have something. So when I roll out an online certification course, I'll include the videos with that as well. But there are some old ones on there, so you can get a feel of it.
Excellent. I was wondering if there was going to be a course coming up, because I'm going, this is a lot of material that I think a lot of trainers, docs, you know, anybody who's working with everyday warriors and you know, your professional to regular athletes, you know, I think this is good stuff. And I think it's also really great because a lot of us who are more athletically inclined don't necessarily give our nervous system the drills it needs, and meditation, things of that nature sometimes comes very difficult. And I feel like a lot of this could help us get into a meditative zone without having to do the 10, 20, 30 minutes of wusa that some of us just can't do right at the moment. We're just not there yet. Like myself.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's about. It'll get you breathing and get you in that state. And yes, breath work will be great. And I like the sound therapy because it takes you there without having to focus on going there. And so you start to learn and train your body to get there. But just this whole system will get you there without having to go and zen out per se.
Perfect. So well said. It's great for folks like me who really just can't get into the meditative mode unless I'm doing fidgeting or doing something. So as fidgeters and as our athletically inclined folks, this is a great program for us. Well, Justin, thanks so much for coming back on. I really appreciate it. Folks, head over to athleticism.com or emfrocks.com if you're looking to get a hold of those lovely EMF blocking rocks there. So everyone survived another episode of the Health Fix. Thanks again, Justin. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Janine. Take care.
Hey there. If you enjoyed this episode of the Health Fix, I bet you'd love to join us in our Facebook group, Find Your Health Fix, where we keep the conversation going from the podcast, but also talk all things health and how we can be athletes and healthy for life. So if you're interested in being healthy for life and just being